Joined by Assembly Speaker John Perez. And Mr. Speaker, one more day of legislative session and a lot of big issues remaining, from pensions to workers' compensation to your middle-class scholarship, which would also end a business tax credit. Give a scouting report for what we can expect on the final day.
Well, first of all, let's be clear about the middle-class scholarship. It doesn't end a business tax credit. It closes a loophole that only benefits out-of-state corporations, a loophole that's only existed for 2 years and creates a competitive disadvantage for business in the state of California. So by passing this, which we're still very optimistic that we'll be able to do in the Senate, we will do two things. We'll create tax equity for in-state corporations in California, and we'll create huge relief for middle-class students in the state of California.
How do you get the Republican vote?
We keep talking to them. We keep explaining the impacts, and we keep hoping that they act in the rational best interest of the people of the state of California.
And is there something, you know, another bill or bills afoot that, not necessarily connected, but what do they ask for when you sit down and say, we want your vote?
The moon in the sky.
I guess that's all I'm getting. On pensions, you're going to vote on that as well. That deal coming out earlier this week, and it's drawn criticism from folks who say it does nothing to deal with the unfunded liability, hundreds of billions of dollars, and from unions who say that it's an assault against collective bargaining. So could you respond to both those criticisms?
Well, first, it's not an assault on collective bargaining. It recognizes collective bargaining. And second, it doesn't solve all the problems of the world, but what it does is creates more significant reform than we've ever seen in the state of California. You can't just wipe away the liabilities that exist. Part of them are created by the realities of the stock market. And so as the stock market improves, that liability goes down. The question becomes, how do you deal with the problematic areas? We deal with it by doing away with some of the most objectionable practices. We make sure that employees share in the cost of their pension by moving us to a 50-50 share where the employee pays for half of the cost of their pension accrual over time. We create a new system altogether that encourages people to work longer by making sure that you can't maximize your pension until you work to an older age, which really ties in with the fact that life expectancy has increased markedly over the decades, and so it's reasonable to expect people to work later. By doing all of those things, this pension reform package saves us in the tens of billions of dollars and really helps us stabilize the pensions.
And finally, on workers' compensation, give us a scouting report on whether you think all the various sides working on a deal are going to get to one by midnight.
It still remains to be seen. There's been some significant progress on workers' comp. We're trying to deal with a couple of issues, making sure that we have a system that provides relief for injured workers who can't go back to work, and making sure that we can find savings for employers who are having to pay into a workers' compensation system. This is a problem that recurs every couple of years. You come up with a reform package. New people look at ways to game the system. The last reform effort 8 years ago produced significant savings, but over time people found ways to game the system. The reforms that we're looking at doing now result in huge savings, and they also result in increased benefits for the most seriously disabled people. But because it's complicated and because this piece came together so late in the session, it really remains to be seen whether we'll be able to do it in the next 36 hours.
Mr. Speaker, thank you.
Thank you.